माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 41. Chapter entitled, Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. Uttama shloka charitam. Taddiham grahayam asa. సుతం ఆత్మవతాంబరం సర్వవేదేతిహాసానాం సారం సారం సముద్ధృతం తద్దిహం గ్రాహయామ్యాస సుతం ఆత్మవతాంబరం సర్వవేదేతిహాసానాం సారం సారం సముద్ధృతం తద్దిహం గ్రాహయామాస సుతం ఆత్మవతాంబరం సర్వవేదేతిహాసానాం సారం సారం సముద్ధృతం. తదిదం గ్రాహయామాస సుతం ఆత్మవతాంబరం సర్వవేదేతిహాసానాం సారం సారం సముద్ధృతం. తదిదం గ్రాహయామాస సుతం ఆత్మవతాంబరం సర్వవేదేతిహాసానా సారం సారం సముద్ధృతం. తదిదం గ్రాహయామాస సుతం ఆత్మవతాంబరం సర్వవేదేతిహాసానాం సారం సారం సముద్ధృతం. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Tat, that, idam, this, grahayam, asa, made to accept, sutam, unto his son, atmavatam, of the self-realized, varam, most respectful, sarva, all, Veda, Vedic literatures, books of knowledge, Itihasanam, of all the histories, Saram, cream, Saram, cream, Samudhritam, taken out. Translation, Srila Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. Purport. Men with a poor fund of knowledge only accept the history of the world from the time of Buddha or since 600 BC. And prior to this period, all histories mentioned in the scriptures are calculated by them to be only imaginary stories. That is not a fact. All the stories mentioned in the Puranas and Mahabharata, etc. are actual histories. Not only of this planet, but also of millions of other planets within the universe. Sometimes the history of planets beyond this world appears to such men to be unbelievable. But they do not know that different planets are not equal in all respects. And that therefore some of the historical facts derived from other planets do not correspond with the experience of this planet. Considering the different situations of different planets and also time and circumstances, there is nothing wonderful in the stories of the Puranas, nor are they imaginary. We should always remember the maxim that one man's food is another man's poison. We should not, therefore, reject the stories and histories of the Puranas as imaginary. The great rishis like Vyasa had no business putting some imaginary stories in their literatures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, historical facts selected from the histories of different planets have been depicted. It is therefore accepted by all spiritual authorities as the Mahapuran. The special significance of these histories is that they are all connected with activities of the Lord in a different time and atmosphere. Srila Sukhdev Goswami is the topmost personality of all the self-realized souls, and he accepted this as the subject of studies from his father Vyasadev. Srila Vyasadev is the great authority, and the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam being so important, he delivered the message first to his great son Srila Sukhdev Goswami, It is compared to the cream of the milk. Vedic literature is like the milk ocean of knowledge. Cream or butter is the most palatable essence of milk, and so also is Srimad Bhagavatam, for it contains all palatable, instructive and authentic versions of different activities of the Lord and His devotees. There is no gain, however, in accepting the message of Bhagavatam from the unbelievers, atheists and professional reciters who make a trade of Bhagavatam for the layman. It was delivered to Srila Sukhdev Goswami and he had nothing to do with the Bhagavat business. He did not have to maintain family expenses by such trade. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore should be received from the representative of Sukadeva, who must be in the renounced order of life without family encumbrance. Milk is undoubtedly very good and nourishing, but when it is touched by the mouth of a snake, it is no longer nourishing. Rather, it becomes a source of death. Similarly, those who are not strictly in the Vaishnava discipline should not make a business of this Bhagavatam and become a cause of spiritual death of so many hearers. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that the purpose of all Vedas is to know Him, Lord Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is Lord Shri Krishna Himself in the form of recorded knowledge. Therefore, it is the cream of all the Vedas, and it contains all historical facts of all times in relation with Shri Krishna. It is factually the essence of all history. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Srila Vyasadev delivered it to his son, who is the most respected amongst the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literature and histories of the universe. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the wonderful Vaishnavas, my worshipable seniors and God brothers who are here and those who are listening online before speaking about this exalted topic. This section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is referred to as the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. In very brief, five verses, the essence is given of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I was just referring to the previous, when we were discussing from the 12th canto. The 12th canto, the last chapter of the 12th canto, there is a detailed section about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I am just going to read from there, not spend too much time. But it's very wonderful, for us to understand when we are talking about Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not an ordinary scripture. Among scriptures, it is like the crown. It's like the crown jewel of all the scriptures. And we know. I mean, while others may or may not know. We who have been connected with ISKCON for so many years, all of us know what is the value of Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the value of Gita, what is the value of Bhagavatam. Others know, just generally, Gita everyone has heard about. Bhagavatam many have heard, but they don't know much about Bhagavatam. We also, before we came to ISKCON, we knew nothing about Bhagavatam, nothing. Not even, practically not heard the word also. But after having come here and after having heard for so many years, we realize that this is something special. Srimad Bhagavatam is special. So that's what we'll just quickly go through. So from text 11 to 12, this is from 13th chapter of 12th canto. It says, from beginning to end, the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations that encourage renunciation of material life, as well as nectarian accounts of Lord Hari's transcendental pastimes, which give ecstasy to the saintly devotees and demigods. This Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy, because its subject matter is the absolute truth, which while non-different from the spirit soul, is the ultimate reality, one without a second. The goal of this literature is exclusive devotional service unto that supreme truth. So that's what the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is, to give us exclusive devotional service, ananya bhakti. All other Puranic scriptures shine forth in the assembly of saintly devotees only as long as that great ocean of nectar, Srimad Bhagavatam, is not heard. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. So it's a very important point that it is the essence of Vedanta. Vedanta is the essence of all Vedic literature. The final conclusion, the essence. And of that Vedanta, the essence is Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who hears and gets attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam will not be attracted to other literature. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu, Shiva, the greatest of Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Purans. So it's very clearly stated, O Brahmanas, in the same way that the city of Kashi is unexcelled amongst holy places, Srimad Bhagavatam is supreme amongst all the Puranas. So very clearly stated here that Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme amongst all Puranas. In fact, amongst all Vedic literature, it is the best. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Puran. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramhamsas. So the maximum description about the glories of devotees we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the processes of transcendental knowledge, renunciation and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears it and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. I meditate upon that pure and spotless Supreme Absolute Truth, who is free from suffering and death, and who in the beginning personally revealed this incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Srila Vyas revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Sukadev Goswami, and Sukadev Goswami mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikshit, which brings us to the verse that we are discussing today, where Vyasadeva, out of his great compassion, has given this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam to his son Sukadeva Goswami. And it is compared, in the verse itself, to the cream that is extracted from milk. So we will try and talk a little bit about this. So Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand what is the value of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is this wonderful literature? See, Rupa Goswami gives us 64 items of devotional service, 64 items. And he has extracted it again from Srimad Bhagavatam only, from the Uddhav Gita, from 11th canto, 19th chapter, 20 to 24, the instructions given by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, to Uddhava, where the essential items of devotional service are mentioned. So, amongst these 64, the top 5 items that Rupa Goswami recommends and our acharyas have given us, out of these 5, one is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it talks about the holy name, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Talks about worshipping the deities, It talks about the third item, it's about serving the Vaishnavas, then reading and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and then living in the dham. So, one can imagine what is the, out of so many items, top 5. They're like the toppers, you know, of the class. And they get the maximum importance. Not to say the rest are not important. Every one of those items is equally important, equally purifying. But still, you know, tara madhe, as they say, amongst these, the top 5 are these. And Rupa Goswami, when he is speaking, he speaks about Srimad Bhagavatam. In these items, it is the Vedas are not mentioned. It's not the Vedas. It is not the Upanishads. It's not even the Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna himself spoke. But it is Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami could have very easily mentioned his own books. He himself has written so many books, right? So many wonderful literatures, Nectar of Devotion. So many wonderful books he has written. He doesn't mention that. Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this Bhagavatam is, as it is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in yesterday's purport also, it is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Meaning, this Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. Why do we, when we take the Bhagavatam, why do we touch it to our head? Why do we, keep it so respectfully? Why do we put a garland on it? So many wonderful things are done to Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't disrespect the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it is non-different than Krishna. It is a literary incarnation of Krishna. As it is mentioned in the previous verse, it is meant for ultimate good of all people. Ultimate good of all people. Meaning, it is not meant only for some people. It is not meant for only the Hindus or only the Indians or only the Vaishnavas. Only the Vaishnavas should study. No, it is meant for the good of all people. And not just good, meant for the ultimate good. You know, the scriptures are meant for the good of all people. Scriptures in general, the Vedic literature is meant for good of everyone. But Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the ultimate good. To take you beyond dharma, artha, kama, moksha. To take you to that which is beyond anything of this material world. To give you the ultimate prema pumartho mahan. To give you that artha which is beyond any artha of this material world. So therefore it is for the ultimate good. And as it is mentioned again in the coming verses, that when the son of Krishna left, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, when he completed his pastimes on this material earth, what a grand, grand finale it is. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Krishna book also we can see that when Krishna leaves, it's a grand finale after performing so many wonderful, unbelievable pastimes. When he finally leaves, even when he leaves, Yudhishthir Maharaj in the first canto, in the subsequent chapters, Yudhishthir Maharaj is lamenting
that maybe Krishna has left. He's asking Arjuna, he's asking Bhima, that has this happened, has that happened, and finally has the Supreme Lord Krishna left. Because he's seeing all the signs. He's seeing the symptoms of Kali Yuga have started manifesting. Day and day, you know, more and more symptoms of Kali Yuga are manifesting. He's seeing that. So for he realizes in his heart that Lord Krishna has already left. But the Lord is so merciful, even though he leaves, he still leaves behind the Srimad Bhagavatam. He orchestrated, you know, it is described that when Krishna left and Kali Yuga started, then the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna incarnated as Srimad Bhagavatam. He actually orchestrated the bewilderment of Parikshit Maharaj and then Sukhdev Goswami, you know, coming to that place, all the rishis from all over the universe congregating in one place, and then for 7 days concentrated. That 7 days, Gosadhin, you know, that 7 days that were given to our Parikshit Maharaj. How we can imagine that, how this things, if we just examine slightly, we can see the hand of Krishna in everything. Everything we can examine. You know, we can just see that Parikshit Maharaj, the same Parikshit Maharaj who was so composed, who was so deeply into Krishna consciousness from his very conception, right, from his very birth. Before he was born also, he was Krishna conscious. All his life, he has ruled his kingdom in a most Krishna conscious manner. He has served the Brahmanas, he has taken directions from Brahmanas at every moment of his life. But for one moment, he got bewildered. Because Shamik Rishi did not pay attention when he was thirsty. He got thirsty, first of all. How he got thirsty, one doesn't understand. He got thirsty, he got bewildered, and then he put that snake like a garland around Shamik Rishi's neck. And then Shingi Rishi gets, Shingi, he's the son of Shamik, he gets angry and he curses Parikshit. Now, when he curses, he could have said he should die immediately. He didn't say that. He should die in 7 days. Something, the right words came out of his mouth. Even when he cursed, the correct words came out. That 7 days later. Why 7 days? He could have said tomorrow he will die, today he will die. But he said 7 days. So one can see this is the hand of Krishna. That Krishna has orchestrated this whole pastime so that he can appear. There is sufficient time for Sukhdev Goswami to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different than him. Krishna says in the Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Evam yo veti tatvataha. So, janma karma chame divyam even relates to Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So, the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam is also transcendental. One should not doubt. One should not feel that, hey, how is this possible? How is this possible that, you know, this Sukhdev, how is it that Parikshit got bewildered? A pure devotee cannot make a mistake like this. You should not get bewildered. How is it that this Brahmana got bewildered? How did he curse like this for such a small thing? Why did he curse someone to die? How is it that Sukhdev Goswami, of all the people, when his own father and guru was present there, he was not asked to speak? Vyasdev's father Parashar Muni was there. He was not asked to speak. Vyasdev's guru Narad Muni was also there. He is one of the central heroes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, figuring in so many places. He was not asked to speak. Why Sukhdev Goswami? One may wonder. But we have to understand, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. This is all by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we must worship Srimad Bhagavatam as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Like we worship the holy name, like how we chant, when we chant, we should be chanting. Yesterday Prabhuji was mentioning that, you know, when we came to Krishna consciousness, initially we had so much fire, we had so much enthusiasm, but then over a period of time, dhire dhire kam ho jata hai. We lose our enthusiasm, we lose our taste, we lose the sanctity with which we treat these things. You know, first, I still remember the first time I decided that, okay, now I'm going to start chanting the holy names from today. Today is that auspicious day. Because I had waited for a long time. For 5 years, I was not chanting. And then suddenly one day, I decided, chalo,
thanks to our Krishnaram Prabhu. He was the inspiration. वहां से वो शुरू हो गया अपना किस्सा. So you know the holy name, when we chanted the first time, when I chanted, I remember that decision to start chanting, I started crying. It was a very emotional moment. And first time I attended over here, Shringar Darshan, conch started playing, you know, conch bajaya, devotee came out, koi aisa mirror dikha raha hai, koi aisa spray kar raha hai, koi, you know, aarti offer kar raha hai, and Govinda, that's, it was too much, you know, the senses were overloaded, I started crying. Now I don't cry. No, I see, like, okay, we mechanically offer the flower and come back. We realize that somewhere we have become hard-hearted. You know, that softness of the heart that was there that attracted us, we have lost that value. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the way when we came to Bhagavatam, when we came to Krishna consciousness, that time mostly it was Maharaj, Radha Swami Maharaj, who was giving lectures. Sab kadak, everyone was tightly packed in the temple hall, right? We sit for, I mean, people would fight for the premium slots. You know, these were the premium slots. Yahan pe, matlab, premium slot hai. Maharaj ke aankh ke niche baith ke, you know, we fight for that slot. Public aisa, before the Guru Puja was over, people would come and sit down over here. Ki, baba, abhi baithne ko hai, Maharaj ka lecture hai. So, that enthusiasm, that fire that we have, we lose it over a period of time. We should understand that the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. We give it the same respect, same sanctity you have to give. Like when we worship deities, well, I don't do it, but I've seen how much care and how much, they're so careful, jara sa ek nail bhi na lag jaye deity ko. This is Krishna. Should not be, you know, we should understand that this deity is, this is not just some marble deity, this is Krishna, because Guru has invited Lord to come and reside, and He is there in that deity. Same way, this is non-different than Krishna. With that respect, we should worship Srimad Bhagavatam. So, amongst the Puranas, amongst the Vedas, this Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says, and Suta Goswami is saying in this verse, it is the cream, of the Vedic literature. So this cream also, what is the cream? We say like Bhagavad Gita, we say, Sarvo Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana, that if all the Upanishads are compared to a cow and Krishna is the Dogdha, then this Bhagavad Gita is like the milk and Arjuna is like the Vatsa, the calf, which is drinking the milk. So, if Bhagavad Gita is the milk of the cow, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of that milk. The cream is the essence of the milk also. So, it is the real, you know, and one has to understand it is the essence of the essence. Now, it's just the condensed milk which is available to us. Any part of, see, if you drink milk, for those of you, there are many people in this world who can drink milk but can't eat cream directly. You know, anyone over here who can't? I'm one of those. If I take cream directly, I get that retching feeling. I can't eat cream directly. You can have ice cream, but I can't have cream. Right? So, if you have cream directly, it's very rich. It's very thick. Oh, gaadha hai. It is the essence of that milk. So, to even consume it, kuch to qualification chahiye. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam is like essence of the essence. So, even to extract this cream from the milk, effort has to be put. Right? You take the milk, you boil it. Boiling ke time, you have to be very attentive. You can't just, you know, leave it for boiling. You have to be there. Otherwise, it boils over. If it boils over, then uska cream jyada milta nahi, bahut kam milta hai. So, you have to be attentive, watch it carefully, so that when it is boiling over, tab turant usko gas band kar do, ya fire se nikalo. Then after that, you cool it down and allow it to cool properly. After it cools properly, because if you try to remove the cream prematurely, pura nahi nikalta hai. Then afterwards, you will not get much. You wait for it to cool down properly. Sometimes we put it in the fridge. Then we get real thick, you know, sir, dosa jaisa thick, uttappa jaisa thick cream nikalta hai, right?
So even to get cream, so much effort is needed. Srimad Bhagavatam also, this cream of Vedic literature, how much effort has been put. We don't realize, see, we are just reading, hearing, studying, but how much effort has gone. Yesterday I was just doing analysis that Srila Prabhupada has written purports till 10th canto, 13th chapter, right? And then after that, from 14th chapter of 10th canto, all the way up to the end of 12th canto, have been written by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So approximately 70%, around 12,700 verses were translated and purports were given by Srila Prabhupada, and another 5,200 odd verses were given by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. How much effort? You know, if we take one verse, we should try this sometime, you know, just for kicks, as they say, you know, try it. Take one verse of Srila Prabhupada, of the Bhagavatam, and try to translate it word by word. Baitho, dictionary leke, ek ek word by word. And there will be multiple meanings for one word. So which word to choose, which translation to choose? First of all, we should know. If we have been in parampara, we will know, kind of, if you have heard nicely. But still, writing word by word translation, then taking all those words and composing it beautifully as a translation of the verse, you know, in the proper order, because sometimes the words are in a particular order, spoken in a particular order, but the translation is not in that exact order. It has to be sequenced nicely. Then after that, taking specific phrases of the translation and then based on that, putting the purport, not just on the translation, but also, oh, this, you know, this kind of is mentioned in this scripture also. It is mentioned in this Upanishad also. It is mentioned in this Puran also. Wo leke, relevant reference dhundke. We take it so ordinarily. Prabhupada mentions from this Upanishad, that Puran, Srila Rupa Goswami has quoted in Nectar of Devotion. Ek verse ka purport likhne ke liye, how much effort must have gone? And Prabhupada wrote 12,000 such purports, 12,700 such purports. And then his disciples, and Prabhupada did this 12,700 in about maybe 12 to 15 years. And then the remaining 5,300 by not just one, but several of his disciples collaborated. And by 1982, it took them another 5 years after Prabhupada left to finish this remaining 5,000 verses. So what effort, how much meditation, how much, you know, tapasya has gone into this, right? So that's why the Srimad Bhagavatam, I understand, it is the cream of the Vedic literature, and so much effort has been put by our acharyas in bringing this to us, in printing it, in writing it, so much effort. So we should respect and worship the Srimad Bhagavatam with that, you know, with that seriousness. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the histories of the universe, right? It is not just some allegorical or mythological story which the common people refer to. Even amongst our scholars or even amongst our common people, they just casually use the word that was used by probably the Indologists of 200 years ago, who were specifically given the task of discrediting Vedic literature. They were given the task of discrediting Vedic literature, and with that they coined all these words which are stuck to us even today. Mythology, which comes from word myth. Myth comes from Sanskrit only, mithya, which means false. Myth in conventional English, myth means, oh, it's not true. And mythology is study of that which is not true. And that is what the whole world refers to as, you know, our scriptures, our scriptural stories are called mythology. Our people also say the same thing. Ah, in our Indian mythology, it is mentioned like this. So, I mean, unknowingly, subtly, we are losing faith in our own scriptures. So, Srila Prabhupada, very heavy, nice long purport he has given, very heavy. He says, histories of the universe. And he says, there is nothing wonderful. There is nothing imaginary in this. While people may feel, how is this possible? This is too much. This doesn't make any sense. You know, how is it that the crocodile is holding on to the feet of this elephant Gajendra for 100 years? How is this possible? We should not think that anything here is just wonderful. Oh, God, amazing. Wonderful is fine, but don't think of it as imaginary. Prabhupada is very clearly saying, don't think it's imaginary. The historians, what do they say? History repeats itself, right? Those who fail to understand history are condemned to repeat it. That's what the conventional historians say. History repeats itself. So then why is it so difficult for people to imagine? When we hear, very casually it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that the demigods were flying in their airplanes and when they saw the beauty of so-and-so, they fell down from the airplanes. I'm like, yeah, aeroplanes, kuch bhi. How is it possible? Right? But no, history repeats itself. If this, today there was someone who is intelligent enough to extract principles of physics, to understand the principles of physics, build up a discipline called aeronautical engineering, and then after multiple experiments, they are able to build an aircraft which can fly because it beats the power of gravity because of moving at a particular speed and angle, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, if someone is intelligent enough to do it today, how can we assume that someone was not intelligent earlier? Because that is the narrative that our scientists have given us. That earlier everyone was caveman. They were, very uneducated. They used to use stones to generate fire. They didn't have anything. They were with big beards and, with clubs in their hand. This is the narrative that has been given to us by whom? There is no proof for this. There is no proof for this that people were uncivilized and savage earlier. Nothing. In fact, we have written proof here that people were very civilized. Likhit. In government, those who deal with government over here would know that the written word is considered important. Bola hua itna important nahi hai. Written. What is written? What is the praman, proof? Written scripture is there. Srimad Bhagavatam is fairly accepted that it is around 5,000 years ago. Now, historians accept that, it's 5,000 years ago. Mahabharata, around 5,200 years ago. So history repeats itself that if today there are planes and there are what is called a jet suit. So few months back, maybe someone might have seen this on WhatsApp. There was a video circulating that the British Navy has come up with some jet suit which someone can wear on their back with some heavy, thing on the hand with which they just press the button and they can fly from one ship to another. They have shown a video. That video is available online. So if, we understand that people can fly today, we have to understand previous history also they would have flown. If today people are able to predict future, today, how do people predict future? There is a whole field of study in IT called predictive analytics. What is predictive analytics? They use data, lot of data which is stored over the last 5 years ka data, they analyze and based on that they identify trends and they look at current data and see what is the direction the data is moving. Based on that, then they predict that this is what is going to happen. And 90% of the time it is accurate. If today we are able to predict, how do we assume that in the past people could not predict? There is a whole Puran called Bhavishya Puran. Why not? People could, today they can travel to different planets, why they couldn't travel earlier? History repeats itself. So what has happened in the past is happening now. Don't be surprised. Don't think this is imaginary. Similarly, people find it very difficult to accept the feats, the feats of yogis or the incarnations of the Lord. When we hear about how the Lord appeared from the nose of Brahma, from a pillar he appeared, from nowhere he appeared. You know, we find this difficult to believe when we hear about what the yogis have done, what Vishwamitra did, what Durvasa did, what Agastya did. Agastya just drank up, you know, the whole ocean. Kaise possible? How is it possible, right? But you have to understand that this is not some extraordinary, imaginary stuff written just to, you know, kind of inspire us. The Lord and His incarnations, they can do anything. And today, if you see, in modern literature or in modern what we call entertainment, what do the people do? They idolize and fantasize the Lord only. But in different, you know, popular culture, and they create movie franchises out of it. There is a Superman. There is a Spider-Man. What are the characteristics of the Superman and Spider-Man? Inexplicably, without any explanation, suddenly they appear at the scene of the crime. Unko samajh jata hai ki pahunchna hai idhar. Out of nowhere, in 1 second, they just reach the scene of the crime. After they reach the scene of the crime, then they fight with the villains. And it's a good fight. Huh? They destroy the villains, but it's a good fight. Matlab, villain bhi aisa takkar wala hota hai. Right? This is how they show in the movies, right? That the villain is also fighting, and you know, it's a good fight. And then at the end, good prevails over evil. The hero, the superhero, who is way, way, way beyond the powers of normal people like you and me. The others are all just watching. Oh, they're just watching. And the superhero destroys the villain. It's a good fight, but he destroys the villain. And then the superhero connects with whom? With the ordinary people. He falls in love with some ordinary woman. Right? Some normal woman he falls in love with. And we see that that superhero, right? That superhero has supporters. And he has detractors. People who don't say, this is nonsense. We should stop all this. What is all this? You know, he creates more destruction than he protects. So they show supporters, they show detractors. Isn't this exactly what happens with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? When Krishna comes, he also appears out of nowhere at the right place at the right time. Sahi samay pe Bhagwan pahunch jate. He reaches to save Gajendra. He reaches to deliver Kubja. He reaches to deliver Ahalya. Sahi time pe the Lord reaches. Then when there are villains in the picture, he fights with them. Like Varadev fought with Hiranyaksha. Like Narsingdev fought with Hiranyakashipu. And it's a good fight. It's not like, you know, some 8 second mein hat uda diya. No. It's a long fight that goes on, you know, and that villain is also fighting like anything. And then after that, the Lord, after vanquishing the villain, then the Lord connects with the ordinary people, the devotees. Lord Narsingdev connects with Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Krishna connects with so many devotees, with the Gopis, with the Brajavasis, with the Dwarkavasis. He connects like an ordinary person, loving, very loving, affectionate. Certainly he loses his, you know, this Aishwarya Bhav. He becomes very sweet and lovable, right? And then he has supporters, he has detractors. There are people who will say nothing but Krishna. Krishna is Supreme Lord. And there are people who will say, oh, he is very ordinary. A few days back, again, there was one more message that came on WhatsApp, which spoke about historical, you know, story of Krishna. So when I started reading it, I was very impressed. I said, hare, finally, someone has done some historical research on Krishna, that he appeared in so-and-so year, he appeared in so-and-so place, his biological parents were, were Vasudeva and Devaki, his foster parents were Nanda and Yashoda. Aisa pura historically, I was like, wow, yaar, achha, kisi ne kiya hai. And towards the end, what do they write? Towards the end, after a few lines, it started coming out, right? When people who are not in parampara, people who have not heard from, this is why parampara is so important. When you don't hear from parampara, you start speculating. At some point, you apply your intelligence to what you have heard or read, and you give your tippani, your vishesh tippani on it. So this person said that See how many struggles he had. He went through so many difficulties in his life. He had a lot of difficulties in his life. A lot of struggles. But he rose above them. You also should do like that. Right? So, supporters, detractors, so-called supporters are there even for Supreme Lord. So why are we so surprised when all our modern day so-called heroes, superheroes are modeled exactly on the Supreme Lord? Then why we can't accept the Lord? We are accepting these superheroes, paying good money. People pay money to pay to watch these movies. But when we are getting Srimad Bhagavatam like this freely, we take it cheaply. Yogis. Okay. So there are these great yogis who are mentioned all across the Puranas. If someone in the scripture does something which we cannot do, no ordinary person can do. Now, ye to Bhagwan bhi nahi hai, hamare jaisa hi vyakti hai. Then how can we accept that so and so did such amazing things? You know, Kashyap Muni, he created a practically a floating palace. Jada ho gaya thoda. How is it possible? But we have to understand, even in today's day and age, if someone does something extraordinary, which is recorded, video recorded, there are witnesses, you know, what do we do with that person? We put them in Guinness Book of World Records, correct? Extraordinary, kya, amazing kiya usne, yaar, this is too good. He pulled an aeroplane with his teeth, you know, daanto se, a rope that was tied to the aeroplane, not full aeroplane, small aeroplane. I remember bachpan mein hum log, there used to be one serial that used to come, they used to show all these feats. So he showed one guy with his teeth, he's holding a rope and he's pulling a mini airplane. Oh, amazing, how is this possible, right? What do? We put such people in the Guinness Book of World Records. We put them in Ripley's Believe It or Not. Believe it or not. But ye sach hai, humne dekha hai, humne measure kiya hai isko. Right? So when someone performs something extraordinary like this, what do? We idolize them. We put them in a book. Right? But how did they get to this point of doing this amazing and unbelievable achievements? How did they get to this point? Kaise ye shakti aaya wo vyakti ko just to pull, an aeroplane by his teeth? Tapasya. They have done tapasya. They have slogged at the same thing to build up their strength over decades. And then, bang, they are able to do something like this. And we are like, arre wah, yaar, kya amazing hai. Right? But there is a huge amount of discipline and tapasya that person has gone through, either in this life or in previous life. And that desire was there, therefore in this lifetime it got fulfilled. So, why is it so difficult for us to accept that these tapasvis of the past could do amazing things? They have done tapasya for thousands of years. So why we can't accept that they can do such amazing things? When we can accept in Ripley's Believe It or Not, we can accept in Guinness Book, why we can't accept that these yogis can do? So this is the point Srila Prabhupada is making. It is not imaginary. It is beyond our realm of understanding. That's all. You know, these histories, Prabhupada says that these are different histories from different realms. Like we see Mars, the planet Mars. We are living on planet Earth. We see the planet Mars, we see the planet Jupiter. Mars, the length of 1 year is how much? 687 days. In our world has got 365 days. Mars has got 6 because it's a longer orbit. 687 days. Jupiter is how much? 12 years. The heavenly planets, as per our scriptures, 1 day on the heavenly planets is how much of ours? 6 months, right? Meaning, their 1 year, like Jupiter is 12 years for us, the heavenly planet 1 year is 180 years of our calculation. It's a different realm. We cannot even imagine. But it's a fact, right? If there is someone living on Jupiter, that Jupiter's 1 year is 12 years of ours, right? As per the sun's calculations. So it is a different realm, different time frame. So don't be bewildered when you hear Because these stories are from different planets, different universes. They have just been compiled in one place. We should not get bewildered by the technical, data given within it. Understand the essence. Right? Radha Gopinath Prabhu always says, right, the letter of the law, spirit of the law. Letter of the law may be something, understand, not just the letter, go understand. More important, understand the spirit of the law. Understand both. So, these are from a different realm. Therefore, these time calculations, these distance calculations may not make sense to us. You know, we say that this Mandara mountain is so many millions of miles high. You don't understand, this is from a different realm. So we don't appreciate it because our intelligence is only habituated with this thing. Like Prabhupada says, Dr. Frog, because you have only seen the well. So you can't imagine how big the Atlantic Ocean is. You cannot. Right? So like that. Then they are from a different atmosphere. There is a, different character. Each planet has its own atmosphere. It has different characteristics. So people who reside on those planets, we may not even be able to see them. We may not be able to live in those atmospheres. So we feel yahan pe koi nahi reh sakta. See, for us, in our Earth planet, the oxygen is what we live on. Right? We have oxygen, we have water, so we can live here. We say that on Mars planet, there is no oxygen. Venus, there is no oxygen. On Jupiter, there is no oxygen. So how can anyone live there? Are but the plants that are living on your planet also don't need oxygen. They live on carbon dioxide. They don't need your oxygen. So why is it so difficult for us to extrapolate that on other planets there could be living entities that don't need oxygen? They can live on carbon dioxide. They can live on sulfur. Why is it difficult for the Lord to create a living entity that can live on sulfur? It's not that difficult to understand. He has created us who live on oxygen. He can create another living entity who can live on no oxygen, who doesn't need to breathe. Why is it difficult? Anything is possible for the Lord. Maybe it is Krishna's desire that he doesn't want us to see. We cannot contact living entities on other planets. Yahi pe itna hum log ne tamasha macha ke rakha hai. Here on this earth we have made such a mess of everything. Imagine if we had the capacity to go to, Jupiter and interact with the people there, and wahan pe jaake we will start putting our flag. This is my country. USA goes and puts its flag there. My country. Jupiter is my planet. Imagine if you are able to do it. It's probably Krishna's arrangement. Not probably, it must be Krishna's arrangement. We are not able to do this. We are not able to contact other life forms. So therefore Prabhupada says, Vyasadeva has no business. Unka koi kaam nahi tha, no business to put imaginary stories in their literatures. They have no vested interest. They have no interest in cheating you and me. How is Vyasadeva going to benefit by putting cheating stories in the Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharat? Mahabharat is also, if you read Mahabharat, we realize that this is beyond the brilliance of an author. Because the stories all add up. They all at the end. If you read only in the beginning, stories, they're all different plots, They're different plots. There's one plot going on in Kurukshetra, in Hastinapur, another plot going on Panchal, the Panchal kingdom, another plot going on somewhere else. And then, dire, slowly all these plots converge. And bang, the Kurukshetra war takes place and crores of people are killed and dharma is re-established. Right? So the whole story was dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. But it all comes together so beautifully. So you understand, they have no business in cheating us. Vyasadeva, who has written so many literatures, all the Vedas, which has got so much knowledge. Yesterday I was reading up on the Puranas, on our, unfortunately, for us, as our knowledge is internet. So I was searching up on Puranas, I looked up on Wikipedia. So Wikipedia lists all the Puranas and the basic contents of Puranas. So in one of the Puranas it is mentioned, it has got information on gemology, gems, how to extract gems. It talks about geology, it talks about astronomy, it talks about future. All this knowledge is given in the scripture, then why will he cheat? Chota chota jhoot kyun bolenge? He's got nothing. He's got no business of cheating other people. So therefore, Vyasadeva gave this cream of all literatures first to his son. So in the translation mentioned that Srila Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected amongst the self-realized. Why did he give it to Sukadeva Goswami? We'll just quickly go through. Most respected among self-realized after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. Why Sukadeva Goswami? Who is Sukadeva Goswami? Right? Sukadeva Goswami is, it is mentioned here that he is the most respected amongst the self-realized. There are many self-realized souls, right? This is not yet Kali Yuga. It is just the start of Kali Yuga. Dwapar Yuga, all these great souls are there sitting in that assembly, but he is the most respected. Have you ever wondered why is Sukadeva Goswami most respected? Right? So it's amazing, the story of Sukadeva Goswami. It's described that he was first a parrot, Leela Shukha, who was participating in the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So Srimati Radharani had many parrots who were serving her, who would pass messages back and forth between Radha and Krishna. So all the coordination of the pastimes was done by these parrots. And of those parrots, the primary one was this Leela Shukha. Now this Leela Shukha would serve Srimati Radharani every day. And after the pastimes of Radha and Krishna on this planet ended, then they told Leela Shukha, "We are leaving now, you be here." So he said, "Hey, how can I be? I cannot live in separation from you." He said, "No, you be here and you should, you know," Radharani says, "I want you to narrate all of Krishna's pastimes to the world. That is your mission. You stay back." So he was heartbroken that how can I live in separation of Srimati Radharani and Krishna? So imagine this person, this individual has witnessed directly the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, has directly served Radha and Krishna. Direct. Matlab, koi beech mein nahi hai. Jao ye message deke aao. Direct. Intimate messages of Radha and Krishna been passed. What a special soul. Right? And then Radharani tells him, "You stay back." So what is the glory of Leela Shukha? He says that I will stay back. First of all, more than associating with the Lord, the glory of serving the Lord is more important, right? So he agrees. He says that, but I have seen your pastimes, I have heard. And he has heard also, because even after Krishna left Vrindavan, he must have stayed with Radharani. He must have been with Radharani. And what does Radharani do? Krishna naam bhaje Radharani. All the time she is glorifying Krishna, chanting his pastime. So he's been hearing about Krishna all through. Right? This is Leela Shukha. This is that soul we are talking about. Now he, when he is told to narrate the pastimes of the Lord, he says that first, though I have seen, though I have heard these pastimes, I want to hear them from a pure devotee before I speak. So therefore he says, otherwise without that I am not capable of narrating this. So look at the humility. What are the qualifications of a person to speak Bhagavatam? Must be humble. He says that, I want to first hear. So he goes to Kailash, where Lord Shiva is relating the Srimad Bhagavatam to Mother Parvati. So when he goes there, he goes to Kailash, he sees that Lord Shiva is telling Mother Parvati, "Okay, now I want to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Aap beech beech mein mereko acknowledgement dete raho. I'm listening. So I know that you're listening." She says, "Okay." So Leela Shukha goes and hides behind one tree and he's listening as Lord Shiva is narrating the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, narrating the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parvati is, you know, she's narrating. She's listening and At some point, she feels little sleepy and she falls asleep. So now, you know, Lord Shiva with his eyes closed in full ecstasy, he is glorifying the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is talking Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is not seen that Parvati has fallen asleep. Now Leela Shukha, their parrots are good mimics. So the parrot starts in Parvati's voice saying, while, you know, whenever, every few minutes he says. And then finally, after he finishes the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, full Bhagavatam is over, Lord Shiva opens his eyes and he sees Parvati is fast asleep. And she also just wakes up. She says, "Sorry, my Lord, you know, I'm sorry, I fell asleep." And Lord Shiva says, "You fell asleep? But I heard you acknowledging all the time. What is it?" She says, "No, it was not me. I fell asleep." Lord Shiva becomes angry. Looks like there's some unauthorized person over here who was hearing. And he looks and he sees this parrot. It's this parrot. He starts running after the parrot to kill the parrot. Unauthorized person heard Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not right. He starts running. And Leela Shuka starts running. All the way from Kailash, he goes all the way to Badrikashram. In Badrikashram, Vyasadeva is just starting to relate the Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife. Right? And at that time, his wife opens her mouth. And Leela Shuka immediately enters into her mouth and takes shelter in her womb. And Lord Shiva comes running there. That, hey, this parrot, you know, unauthorized way he has heard Srimad Bhagavatam. I will kill this parrot. So Vyasadeva says, "My Lord, you know, isn't it true that one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said in the Bhagavatam itself, one who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam becomes immortal?" Lord Shiva says, "Yes, that is correct. So then how can you kill him?" Lord Shiva says, "Correct." And he goes back. So then Vyasadev, he relates the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So for a second time, Sukhdev Goswami hears the entire Srimad Bhagavatam while in the womb of his mother. Now after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, now Leela Shuka, he's now become Shukdev Goswami. He refuses to come out of the womb. Because he doesn't want to. He realizes material world is a miserable place. No, I am better here only. Let me keep hearing like this Srimad Bhagavatam in the womb of my father. Doesn't want to come out. So then Vyasadeva requests Krishna. Krishna comes and assures him. Tells him, "You have a mission, Baba. It's not a, you know, you have been brought here. You have a mission. Come out." He says, "Your parents are waiting for you." And Shukdev says, "No, but that is Maya. You know, parents are waiting. Who are parents? Parents is Maya. I'll get into attachment of parents. Can you assure me, Supreme Lord, that I will not get into Maya?" And Krishna says, "Yes. Daiviyesha gunamai mama maya durate. Under my control. So I will ensure that you will not fall into Maya. You come out." But after he comes out on the auspicious day of Vaishakha Shukla Dvitiya, the day before Akshaya Tritiya, he comes out. And the moment he comes out, he just walks away into the forest. Vyasadeva is calling, wait, Baba. 16 saal ke baad bahar aaya hai. Wait, at least let us, you know. He just walks off. He doesn't wait. And then after, you know, a few more things happen. I'll not go into that. It's already getting late. So, a few more things happen. And then he hears, you know, some boys in the forest. They are chanting beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, one verse is about Krishna's beauty, you know, the beauty of the Supreme Lord. They are chanting about Krishna's beauty. And another verse is about his compassionate nature from, you know, which is referred to in the third canto. That, "Aho Bakiyam Sana Kalakut." That, what kind of compassion, what kind of beauty and opulence this Supreme Lord has. But what kind of compassion he has. Someone who has great Aishwarya, great opulences, they don't normally care for people who are ordinary like you and me. They don't care. But the Lord is so compassionate, even for a person who came to kill him, he gives the position of nurse in the spiritual world. So how compassionate, how wonderful is this Lord. So when he hears this, he stops in his tracks because he's already heard Bhagavatam two times. And now these two verses, he gets intoxicated and he says, "Tell me, where did you hear this? Where did you learn this? Tell me." They said, "We heard from our guru." "Who is your guru?" Vyasadev. So again he walks back to the ashram of Vyasadev. And for third time, he again hears Srimad Bhagavatam. This time, proper sitting in front of him, he hears the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then after that, he leaves. He leaves for the forest to perform tapasya. And there again, he comes across, you know, this. There again, he is attacked by boys, young boys who feel that he's not wearing clothes. Digambar Vesh, you know, they attack him. But when they see that all these great rishis, you know, all big Vyasadev and everyone is paying obeisances, they're offering him respects. And then they understand that, you know, this is a great soul. And they ran away. And then unanimously they decided, all these rishis decided that this Shukdev Goswami, he will speak this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the cream of all Vedic literatures, for the in those 7 days to this great soul, the greatest speaker, one who has personally experienced the pastimes, who has heard it many times from Srimati Radharani herself, then has heard it from Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, the greatest Vaishnava, he has heard from him. Then he has heard from the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord Vyasadeva twice and meditated on it. That person is going to speak to whom? To Parikshit, who has meditated on Lord Krishna from his very birth. What a grand setting, right? That is the Srimad Bhagavatam that we, you know, fortunate souls are getting to hear. So Srila Prabhupada says that this Bhagavatam, you know, how to hear it. He says we should not hear from the unbelievers. People who don't believe, those who are making a business of Srimad Bhagavatam, from the unbelievers, those who are just reading it, but say, haan, ye story hai. Interesting story hai. Arre, story sunne mein ras milta hai. Suno. Wo rasikon se nahi sunna hai, bhai. Don't listen from these unbelievers who don't believe, who read, memorize, but don't believe. Don't hear from them. Don't hear from atheists. Don't hear from professional reciters. He says, Prabhupada says, it is this milk, but this milk, if it is touched to the lips of a snake, it becomes poisonous. It kills the spiritual life of the hearer. So don't do this. It causes spiritual death, Prabhupada says. So don't hear from such people. From whom we should hear? We should hear from Sukadev Goswami. Sukhamukhat. Amrita. It becomes sweeter. When the parrot eats the peru becomes sweeter. So this Bhagavatam, which is already sweet, already essence, the cream, that cream becomes ice cream. It becomes even sweeter. Because Sukadev Goswami has tasted it and spoken it from his lotus lips. The purest of all souls, the most respected of all self-realized peoples has spoken it. So we should hear from Sukadev Goswami. Unfortunately, we don't have Sukadev Goswami. So Srila Prabhupada says, hear from the bona fide representative of Sukadev Goswami, coming in the parampara of Srila Vyasadeva. So unfortunately, you know, we may not have those qualifications as Srila Prabhupada speaks. He says, a person who is renounced, a person who is a sannyasi should speak. A person who is unencumbered by the family life. Such a person. Why? Because family life hai, if you are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to support your family life, you become a professional reciter. If you have no encumbrance, matlab aapko koi bedi bandh ke nahi rakha hai, then you speak Srimad Bhagavatam in correct parampara, then you are able to get the benefit. So this is the great benediction that we have. We should realize what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Amongst the five items, principal items of devotional service, it is one, non-different than Krishna, the essence, the very cream of all Vedic literatures, and spoken by the greatest of self-realized souls, by the grace of Srila Vyasadeva. This is the great fortune that we have received. You know, any time we can pick up the holy names, we can chant. Any time we can pick up Srimad Bhagavatam and chant. All by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have received this. So let us express our gratitude to these wonderful acharyas, the wonderful devotees who have taken this pains to give us this transcendental literature. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan Ki Jai. They have given us this transcendental literature, and with this literature, we can perfect our lives like Parikshit Maharaj and go back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.